you know, and I say this without any rancor whatsoever, but it is a case in point of what I'm going to preach today, that I dare say that you would take the same sum in the 90% of the churches in the world today to get that demon cast out, and they would not. Preachers wouldn't know what to do with him. They would send him to a psychiatrist. They would send him to Norman, to the state hospital. Now you know that's the truth. And he was brought to the disciples to deliver this young man. By the time of this pastor, he got all the way up from some town in Oklahoma. Brought this town to meet the demon cast. It happens all the time. The other day I was at a television station. They brought a young man in there that needed a demon cast out. And the cameraman said, "Don't do it until I leave." Scared him to death. The people don't understand. They just, but the disciples couldn't do it. Now, well, that's not the main point. Let's get on. And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation." Jesus was exasperated. He wasn't mad at his disciples. He was just concerned that they were so weak in faith. In fact, he said they were faithless. "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit failed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And all times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him," like the devil, isn't it? "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, if it doesn't take perfect faith to touch Jesus, because that "if" carries with it a little seed of doubt, or maybe a big one. But the man said to Jesus, "If thou canst do anything, help us, have compassion on us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible to him that believeth. 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 Read it any way you want to. Boy, it spells victory. Some things are possible. He can heal the headache, but not the cancer. All things are possible. Didn't say all things that happen, but all things are possible. There's a condition there, isn't there? And suddenly the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." That's interesting. "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried, how often I've heard that, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this time can come forth by nothing but by prayer. All things are possible. All things are possible. Begin to believe. Lately, I have been coming back again and again to the realization that if things continue as they are, we're going to awaken in the presence of God someday, realizing how much we miss for our lack of faith. But I almost can hear Jesus saying to the church of the day and to me, O ye of little faith, therefore didst thou doubt. What is this thing called faith? Now these are the words of Jesus. All things are possible to him that believeth. They're either true or false. You've got to make up your mind. Jesus either is telling the truth or he's telling a lie. And who among us is going to call Jesus a liar? Not this preacher. So when we fail in the area of all things, it is a problem with believing. It's a problem with faith. It is not a problem with Jesus. It's not a problem with God. You know, it's interesting, and I've been guilty of this. When we read things like this, we immediately begin to think up all the reasons why it doesn't really mean what it says. We try to conjure up all the examples in the Bible where somebody failed, so that we can say, well, it doesn't mean all things. If we would spend as much time researching the Word of God to build up our faith as we spend in tearing it down, we would tear the world upside down for God. You know what I'm saying? The preachers would spend as much time just believing the Word as they do explaining away the Word, it'd be double beating. All things are possible. Now the setting is this demon-possessed son of the Father is brought to the disciples for deliverance, and they couldn't get him. Have the power. Didn't mean they weren't disciples. They were still disciples. They were still saved. But there was something lacking in their understanding of believing. Now all things were possible, but here was something that was not possible to them because they didn't believe. It tells me a lot of things about it. And so, of course, the Father said, I brought him to the disciples, and they said, they couldn't do it. Jesus, he said, oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? And then, following the heart-rending story of the Father, and then the display in the life of the young man, the devil was trying to destroy him right in the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus took charge of the situation, cast the demon out, and left the young man healed, sane, in control. And the Father then confessed a degree of doubt before Jesus delivered the young man. He said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If thou canst. That word if is a word of doubt. It cast a shadow of doubt on Christ's ability to do it. If thou canst do it, help us. And yet the sincerity of his heart, the fact that he had been unlettered or untaught in anything about the Word of God, left an open door for Jesus to march in, and he could let him not only demand but be the disciples. And Jesus spoke to the heart of the solution by saying, it is not if I can, it is if you believe. The man said, if thou canst do anything, help us. Jesus said, the question is not if I can, the problem is with your believing. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's the answer he gave you. He said, the problem is not my ability to do it, the problem is your ability to believe it. All things are possible to him that believeth. And then the Father cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe in the area where I'm weak in believing, help it. I want to believe. At this point, that man's most significant struggle, believing. Isn't it true? The most difficult thing is really believing. All things. No one knows better than Satan that all things are possible to him that believeth. The devil knows that. He fears it like the plague. No one knows better than the devil that all things are possible to him that believeth. That's why Satan's chief occupation is to steal your faith, to weaken your faith, to kill your faith, to destroy your faith, or to compromise your faith. This is what the devil wants to do in your life and in mine. They use every means at his disposal to kill, to destroy, to maim, to weaken, to water down, to dilute, to do away with your faith. Because he knows all things are possible to him that believeth. Now why is Satan so against you having faith? Because he knows without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, the devil knowing that, why wouldn't he destroy faith? Take that a step further. Why does Satan want to destroy your faith? Because he knows without faith it is impossible to be healed. Now, if that's a little hard for you to understand, let's take it to the next logical step. It's because the devil knows without faith, it's impossible for you to be saved. Now you see why the devil wants to destroy your faith? You can't be saved without having faith in God. It is by grace through faith that you are saved. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Somebody says, all you have to do is ask. You've got to believe. You cannot be saved without faith. It's not doing deeds, sweetheart. It's not having a priest lay his hands on you, a preacher pray for you, or shake a preacher's hand or sign his card. It has nothing to do with it. You are saved when you believe that you are saved. And so the devil knows that if he can destroy faith, he just tears down the very thing that brings access to God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Satan sets out to make you doubt your healing, make you doubt your deliverance. Yes, even make you doubt your salvation. How many have ever been healed and the devil came along and made you doubt it? How many of you have ever been saved and the devil came along and made you doubt it?
See what I'm telling you? Oh, that's his territory. He knows if he can destroy your faith, he's got you. Because it is through faith that we receive these things from God. Now, what is doubt? Let's look at this thing in order to find out what this thing called faith is. What is doubt? Why is it that without faith it is impossible to please God? Because doubt is really doubting the existence of God. You see, oh, we have no problem in believing that an almighty God can do anything. That's not the problem. So many Christians say, I believe God can do all things, you know, if he's really there. So that's, now listen, I'm giving you something very vital. The problem is not really believing God can do it. The problem is believing God's there to do it. Wow. You got me? It is not hard to believe an almighty God that can hurl the universe from the tips of his fingers with the speaking of his word and shake out the universe with all of its rolling whirls and flaming suns and luminous comets. And it's not hard to believe he can heal tuberculosis or can save a sinner if he really exists. But there's where the test comes. Do we really believe that God is? It's not a matter of believing that he can. Do we believe he is? Oh, we'll argue, oh yes, we believe. We'd never be found saying we don't believe God is. But in our heart and our inner thinking, that's the rub. I'm going to teach you something that's going to revolutionize your ability to believe. The crux of the whole matter, we try, but nagging doubt dogs our way. We strive, but wavering faith defeats the answer. For years, I've wondered why we don't see more miracles and answers to prayer. Here's the answer. It is a doubt that God really exists. And this is what the scripture says when it speaks of without faith, it is impossible to please God. This statement is found in the great faith chapter of Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. And here's what it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's the problem. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, not doubt that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Is not this our problem? Wanting to believe, but doubting. Hoping, but doubting. Hoping he's there, but wondering, is he really there? Is there really such a thing as eternal life? Is there really a God? Or are we dealing in an exercise of futility? Now, you don't hear many preachers talking about this. But here is the problem. It's not a belief in whether he can. It's a doubt that he is that causes our problem. And I believe there are preachers that preach a lifetime that really, in the back recess of their mind, think he really isn't there. I think there are people that serve God, they belong to church, they may teach Sunday school. Deep in the heart of hearts, struggle with faith that God is. The thing you've got to make up your mind as a basic component of faith is that God really is there. There is a God. He does exist. And when you settle that in your mind and he's more real to you than your earthly father, or someone you can see with a natural eye, and you can see him with the eye of faith, then you'll have no problem believing he will and can do all things for him that believeth. Get an eye on God, lock in on him, and believe that he really is. And so just as Satan is out to destroy our faith, We should seek to build up our faith. At least this father was seeking to build up his faith by crying, "Lord, help my unbelief." So, instead of trying to convince yourself that God can do something about your situation, settle in your mind that he really exists, and then trust him. Trust that God that is really there, who is really hearing your prayer, who really has all power in heaven and in earth. You know, we preach, sometimes find it difficult to do. A few days ago, the devil tried to put a sore throat on me, attacked me in the night when I was asleep. And I awakened with that thing, that scratchy feeling, and that, you know, it's just the very symptoms that I've gone through before with that strep throat and awful pain and chest cold and everything that comes with whatever that is. Whatever spirit the devil throws against you in that particular thing. And I've had that happen before, and I've just prayed and asked God to take care of it. But I've been preaching and believing and building with you in this level of faith, and for the first time, I begin to speak audibly to that spirit. That's right. I didn't deny that the problem existed when I woke up, but I put it at the doorstep where it belonged. I said, "The devil is attacking me." So he knew, I knew where he was coming from. Amen. And I began to speak to that thing. And I said, "Spirit of sore throat, I'm a member of the body of Christ. I am his and he is mine. I'm one in him. And he defeated you on the cross, and Jesus has no business going around with a sore throat in his body." No business. And since I'm his, you're trying to slip in the back door and pull the wool over my eyes. I said, "Devil, you're not going to do it. Get out of my throat. Get out of my house. Get off of my property. You're not welcome here. I don't receive it. Amen. I'm just not going to have it. I'm not going to have it." I heard Fred Bryce say something on television that I thought was so good. He said, "You know, used to, I'd read in the newspaper over the radio that the Hong Kong flu was coming. Or some flu epidemic." He said, "Well, I knew I was going to get it because, you know, I always did." And said, "I'd just go buy some juices and put them in the refrigerator and get ready. I'd prepare for it. Because it's going around." And he said, "Then the knock would come on the door, and I'd open the door, and he'd say, 'Hello, here I am. I'm the Hong Kong flu.'" And Fred said, "I'd say, 'Come right in. I'm waiting. I got the juice in the refrigerator and got the bed ready. The thermometer's there beside it. Said, go ahead and give me that fever and everything. And, you know, I just tough it on out.'" He said, "Until he learned better." He said, "Now, when he knew what the word of God said and the doorbell rings and he goes to the door, it's a Hong Kong flu. He said, 'Devil, get off of my property. You're not coming in this house and you're not setting foot on my property.'" Amen. Well, you think that's very foolish, but Jesus talked to trees and Jesus talked to the water, and so I talked to the devil and the sickness that he tries to bring. And so I just talked to it. I just cast it out. Amen. Now, the whole thing is believing that God is. We have been so afraid
that we were going to be made a spectacle before the eyes of men. We've said things like this: what if I pray and it doesn't happen? What's that going to look like? What do you care? If God isn't able to back up his word, how do you think you are going to be able to do anything about it? That within itself is a doubt that God really exists. We don't want to come off looking foolish in the eyes of people. People, if you're going to live your life according to what the sinners of this world think, you're going to be in a straitjacket until you'll never do anything. You say, well, I may confess something, then it doesn't happen, then it's going to weaken the faith of that sinner out there. Hey, that sinner's faith is already weakened. He's already going to hell. The only thing that's going to turn him around is for you to demonstrate that God is alive. All you're doing is reinforcing the idea that he's not really there. He's not really there. And that's our problem. Pentecostal people, yes, sir. We have that nagging doubt, is he really there? Is he really there? People, preachers use this for years. They say, well, you know, I've talked to the sinner and I've said to them, well, you believe there's no God and I believe there is a God, and if we both end up life and really there's not, then I haven't lost anything and neither have you, we're even. But said, if we find out there really is, that you've lost everything and I've gained it all. Well, that very line of reasoning is a doubt. Amen. We should work on that, Christians. There should be no doubt in our minds that there is an almighty Jehovah God who is in all and over all, and who is our Heavenly Father. He really exists. You can see him with the eye of faith. His word has never failed. And we stand on believing that God. When I believe there is a God, I don't have much trouble believing he can do anything. Hey, God can do anything. You've got to believe he is, first of all. That's where you get your faith anchored. Believe that he is. So work on that area. Get that settled in your heart. And then, it's no problem to believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, we must never lose faith, but we must allow it to grow ever stronger. Now, Jesus was so tender with his Father. He didn't jump all over him for saying, if thou canst do anything. He didn't say, well, how dare you? He just dealt with him at his level where he was and built him up. Because he said, ask and you shall receive. And even when the man said, help thou mine unbelief, maybe to some that seems a negative confession, but it was a cry from his heart that he realized that he wanted more faith. And Jesus let him have it. So, let's never lose faith. Let's allow it to grow ever stronger. Now, if I must, because of the level of my faith, allow God to heal me through a Christian physician, I'm not going to allow that to weaken my faith, but I'm going to study harder and believe that God is all the more and seek God more diligently the next time. See what I'm saying? I'm not criticizing a person for doing this or that or something else. Too long, the church has placed all kinds of condemnation upon people until they're almost afraid to open their mouth. There's no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. And if your level of faith is just a certain area, then realize that and build it higher the next time until we can go on from this little faith to more faith, and from more faith to greater faith, and greater faith to perfect faith. That's important. Now, I'm not going to wait until I need a miracle before I study, believe, and confess faith in God. I'm going to work at it every time I read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. That's where a lot of people make a mistake. They wait until they get in trouble, then they start trying to have faith. Hey, it's too late, sweetheart. Faith is not something you conjure up on the spur of the moment. It's not like you have instant coffee in the morning. Faith is something you live and walk by. It is a walk of faith. And so every time you read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, let it bolster and build your faith. Now, if you feed your spirit faith when it does not need it, then your spirit will feed your mouth faith when it does. Did you hear that? If you feed your spirit faith when you don't need it, then your spirit will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. I mean, it'll just come out of there. The Word of God will defeat the devil every time if you have stored up that faith in God all time. Feed your spirit faith every day. Amen. Spend the same amount of time exercising your faith as you do your muscles. Some of you people run a mile every day or more. That takes a lot of time. I know, I've tried it. Some of you do calisthenics. You do exercises. Some of you watch what you eat. You take care of this physical body, and that is great. I think you ought to do that. I think God's physical laws are important just like His spiritual laws are important. I think that's wonderful. But how about spending the same amount or more time building up faith muscles as you do body muscles? How about eating the right diet when it comes to the Word of God and building up your faith until you are a giant on the inside? Until instead of the devil scaring you to death, you frighten him silly every time he comes around. Amen. You may look like you're a 6 foot, 170 pound man on the outside, but you have so built up the inner man until when the devil comes, he sees someone that's 50 feet tall and weighs 10,000 pounds. I mean, you've got something built up to defeat the devil with. Amen. That's what the devil looks at, is your faith image. And so you feed your spirit faith when you don't need it, and your spirit will feed your mouth faith when you do need it. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And what do we have to lose if we have faith in God? You go to the root of sin, you're a sure loser. I mean, there's no, that's a sure way to be defeated. I read an article in this week's paper, singers are coming, I'm closing, where several of the doubting scientists who examined the Shroud of Turin have now become believers in Christ's death and resurrection because of the scientific evidence of that burial cloth. I'm not here to say yay or nay, although I do think it's remarkable. I'm going to preach a sermon about it pretty soon. But the fact that they suddenly begin to say, hey, he must be alive. And if just seeing some piece of cloth that speaks to a scientist's mind that the person that wore that thing did indeed come out, how much more should a child of God that has no doubt in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that does believe that he is alive, know that he can do all things? All things. The living, living Christ. Hallelujah. And if we believe he's alive and do not doubt in our hearts, great things will happen. Many people are going to be chagrined when they stand before God and realize all the things they missed by doubting God. Now, folks, If you're going to receive anything from God, you're going to believe he is. Some of you here today, you don't even know him. You don't claim to know him. You're not even a Christian. You've had a thing about even being called a Christian because that conjures up in your mind some kind of a definition that you're not too happy with. But all I'm saying to you is that if you're going to receive anything from God, you're going to have to believe that he is. And if you'll believe that he is and come to him and believe in him, he'll do for you exactly what he said he would do in his word. And you can know him as your heavenly Father. But it's going to have to be more than just stumbling through life wondering if it's really real. I think how miserable it is to go to church and all the time be wondering if that's really real. That everybody has those things. They wonder if that preacher is real. They wonder if that Christian is real. They wonder if God is really there. They wonder if Jesus really came out of the grave. Wonder, wonder, wonder. What a miserable way to live. You need to anchor your faith on something that's tangible and then stick to it and let God begin to build you into the giant he wants you to build. And that is based on faith in God's word. And God wants to come into your life, revolutionize you, and it all begins with a simple faith in your heart, believing that God is. That he is. For whoever comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But neighbor, God really is. And all things are possible to him that believeth. That's the bottom line. You start with that premise and you solve that in your mind, and I'm telling you, you've got a foundation that your faith can grow until you can move mountains. Amen. I think we're trying to have a mature faith without building the base. We're trying to speak to a mountain and see it removed and cast into the sea when back in the suspicion of our mind we wonder if God's really there to hear us asking. Huh? Settle your mind on the reality of God and then build your faith in him on that foundation. And you believe that he is, and then you believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and all things are possible to him that believeth, and everything comes possible to you. To you. When you believe it. Now, if you're here this morning and you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, you need God to be your Heavenly Father. You need to be forgiven of your sins. Things are not right between you and God. You know it. You're not living right. You know there is a reality that you do not have. You need God to speak to your sin, to forgive it, to cover it with the blood of Jesus. You need to be born again. You need God to become your Heavenly Father. You need to start walking by faith in Jesus Christ. God's going to do that for you today, and I'm going to help you know exactly how to have Jesus Christ come into your life and God to be yours. I'm not going to ask you to be cowardly about it. I'm not going to make it easy for you, because I don't want any doubt to linger in your mind. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father. You either want Christ or you don't. I'm not asking you to try it. I'm not asking you to say, well, I'll see if there's anything there. I'm asking you to trust God to step out by faith, not caring who knows it or sees it, and begin your walk into eternity. And that walk of faith. If you want a reality in God, and you want God to be your Heavenly Father, and you want every sin forgiven, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment and then give you further instructions to pray as Jesus comes into your life and God revolutionizes your soul and you begin the most thrilling, marvelous walk that you could ever find in this life, your own volition serving Almighty God. I don't ask for anybody to bow your head or close your eyes. We don't do anything in the dark. We're not ashamed of what we do. If you want God, God wants you, and you can have him. You're not ashamed. And if you need him, I'll start with this section right over here. If you want to join me in prayer and let God become the governing factor in your life, raise your hand up boldly right now, and we're going to pray. God bless you, my brother. Thank you, sir. You may put it down. Are there others? In this section right here. Thank you. God bless you. Marvelous. Anyone else? In this section. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anyone else? I move to this area right here quickly before we move on. You want to pray with me? You want God to become the governing factor in your life, to forgive every sin, and you can start walking hand in hand with God. Here, raise your hand quick while we wait for you. Just a moment. Thank you so very much. What about here in the middle section? Do you want to join us in prayer? God bless you, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put it down. Thank you. You may put it down. Are there others? This area right here. You want to walk with Almighty God, knowing that He's really there to see you through. God bless you. Hallelujah. Whatever your servant's not winning, you say, how do you know? Because there's no winner but God. I know where this world's headed. You want help? Get your hand up. God bless you. What about this section right here? You want to join us in prayer? Thank you, darling. Beautiful. Thank you. Amen. Anyone here? Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Anyone else? What about this section here? You want to join us in prayer? You want God to come into your heart? You're making Him the foundation of your very life. Huh? Hurry. Want to move to the balcony? You're kind of spread out up there, but I'll pan around. And if you want to pray and God to be the determining factor in your life, get your hand up anywhere in the balcony when I come around. Amen. Man, they're spread clear around that thing. That's a seed of faith. We're going to fill that. I confess it and speak it to the glory of God. Anyone up there want to join us in prayer? Get your hand up. Anyone else? Thank you very much. Everyone standing on your feet. Nobody leaving at this point. We'll all go in 4 minutes. I'm getting better. I'm quitting preaching now about 5 after to start my invitation. That's about 30 minutes early because we're eliminating most of our announcements, and I'm going to work on that even. But you know what? Well, I'll tell you about that later. I don't want to take the time. Now, you that raise your hands, I want you to take the most important step you'll ever take. Now, I can pray for you where you are, and that's fine, and I've had hundreds saved, probably thousands that way, and that's all right. But it's so much better if I don't leave you going out with questions in your mind. We have in this church trained altar workers. I mean people that know how to answer your questions, to pray with you one-on-one, to love you and to help you. I mean a real Christian buddy that won't sit in judgment nor condemnation of you, but will become your friend and help you pray. Now I want to be sure that before you leave, you are anchored to somebody who can help you and follow up with you, so that every answer can be given and your faith in God can remain. And so we want to pray together. Now while the singers sing, all of you that raise your hands, or all of you that want to join us with prayer around this altar with our altar workers, I want you to listen carefully. You that have raised your hand, I want you to come. Move out from where you are. Come down. Stand around this altar rail on the outside facing in. Stand. And our altar workers will be on the inside. Then Brother Richmond's going to come and lead you in a prayer. And then the altar workers are going to talk to you individually and love you and help you with every need that you have. So while you need God, you raise your hand. Come on and stand around this rail. All right? That's beautiful. Thank you. God bless you. Come on. Wherever you are, up on the balcony, come on. There's walkways down both ends. You come down. Down below, move to an altar rail. Hallelujah. Is this a whole family coming to God? Huh? Here's a whole family coming to Jesus. Can you see this right here? Praise God. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Come on. You need prayer? Come on. Hurry. We're going to seek God with you today. The Lord is going to take care of every need you have. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hurry. We're going to pray. Now I want all of you that are standing, listen to Brother Richmond as he leads you in prayer.
You repeat the sinner's prayer with him, and then these altar workers are going to stay with you. You can kneel if you want to after you pray this sinner's prayer, or you can stand up. But whatever you want to do, these people are going to talk with you one-on-one to help you know that everything is like it ought to be between you and God. I love you. And for all of you that want to meet me, I'm going to be in the narthex of the concourse out to this side of the information table so I can shake your hand. Some of you have come for months and you've never got any closer to me than halfway back the aisle. And so I'll be there to greet you today. I don't always do this, but I want to do it today. And I'll be glad to come and see you there. You that are here, pray with Brother Richmond and give your heart to God. Welcome to the kingdom. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Baker. Don't you thank the Lord with me for that exquisite message? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Everyone in the congregational area, pray with us as we repeat this prayer. And those of you around the altar, pray and follow me. Hallelujah. Stay with me now. Father, I come just as I am, confessing that I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. I believe that Jesus died for me and that only through him I can be saved. So I come to you repenting of my sin and ask you to forgive my sins as I turn away from them all now. Father, by faith now, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I will follow him the rest of my life. I will live for you and conduct my life according to your word. Thank you now for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Praise God, I'm saved. Praise God, I'm free. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God, spirit of praise.